The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and it's great to be here today. And I want to welcome our guest, Kim Weir, from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation here in Saratoga Springs. And Kim, let's talk today about some of the things that the TRF went through in 2020. Of course, everybody knows that it was a lost year as far as doing things. Tell us what you did and how you managed and what you did to come up with alternatives.
Yeah, well, it was a year unlike any other, Rick, and it is so nice to see you here today to start off the new year. It's always a highlight for me to come visit with you and to talk about our horses. I brought a few of them with me. For those of you who get to watch us on YouTube, you will see several of our horses joining me in the background here.
Now, will you ride one for us?
That'll be another, you have to invite me back to do that. Okay. not today. But yes, it was such a crazy year, and things like this technology we're using today to do our podcast is yet the ultimate example of what we did last year. Was we figured out new ways to do things, because that's what we all did, right? And we can all just sit here and think about all the many, many ways in which we had to reinvent our lives. And that was the story for the TRF as well, because much like all of our real lives, these horses, for all of their for all their magic, the one thing that they were completely unaffected by COVID in a good way, in that they just live their lives in fields and they still need as much hay and they still need as much grain and they still need to get their feet done. So they were they kept us going. I mean, I often think that the horses give to us much more than we give to them. And that's why we do this, but they gave our TRF team, you know, the purpose that gets us out of bed every day and has us running for every opportunity like this to talk about them, because they need us. They are relying on us. And so last year was a year of figuring it out. We knew that we had to regroup, but we couldn't change our goals. Our goals would remain the same. We have over 500 horses in our herd across the country and they're relying on us. So the one way I wrap up what we did last year, and then I'm happy to give some examples, is that we realized the two greatest gifts of 2020, in my opinion, were time and technology. Mm-hmm. Time was the unexpected gift of all of us being locked in our houses and not being able to go do all the things we had planned, and all of which was very hard to swallow. We all know that. But we did have more time. We had this time on our hands. And then suddenly we discovered this fabulous technology. Thank goodness for the technology. I am an extrovert, as you and I have this in common. We like talking to people. And thank goodness for Zoom. I'm still writing it on a daily basis in my gratitude journal that I'm grateful that Zoom exists, because it's what enabled us to stay in touch and to keep talking to folks. So those two things, while they're kind of big, and we all know that we both got them, that is how we navigated last year. And so examples of that were that the first half of the year, when we were really, really all locked in our houses, we, and I particularly, started doing presentations on Zoom, introducing these creatures behind me and all of their friends in our 18 farms across the country. And I did this presentation called the TRF Second Chances Behind the Scenes and Virtual Tour. And it was basically an hour of me going on and on, but essentially explaining how does our program work. Where do our horses live? Who are the people that take care of them? And just really giving the gift of time was that people had an hour to give me and to listen. And honestly, I could go on and on, as I tend to. The best thing about all of that was that I had a message that I could share during a really dark time. It was a really tough time. We all know March, April, May, those were rough months. We're still in a tough time. But I was able to then tell a story that had nothing to do with COVID. I actually didn't even mention that word in my presentation. I just got to talk about this program, its history, and the fact that it was doing its magic, even as we all sat in our houses last year, and even as we were all feeling a bit unable to do something, the TRF Second Chances program was continuing on. So that's the first thing I did last year, but I'll take a breath and say, does that all make sense? Anything I can answer about that?
Sure. Made a lot of sense. yeah, the Zoom was great. Gmail has a program that we can relate to face-to-face. I've done my radio show for 16 years. And I could still go into the studio and do phone conversations, but that's not like seeing the person and, you know, getting their expressions when you're talking. Right. And how the year progressed, nobody wanted to be in that closed space.
Sure.
So we came up with Zoom. And it works out really well, even if it's, you know, making a video, but even if it's just for the audio, because a lot of people don't want to go on the video, but just for the audio. So we all learned how to do something different. And like you said, I had time off because I drive school bus and we were shut down on March 15th. I had great time. My wife and I worked around the yard. We got so many things accomplished, so many things that we did we weren't going to do. And and then we thought the track was going, and then that ended up not having fans, so I didn't work at the track. So I had 6 months off, and you know, which I've never had before.
Yeah.
And you just had to make your life adapt.
Yeah.
Basically.
That is so true. And I think that it was, you know, looking back and going, what are those things we did that we never would have done? And you know, those garden projects. And for me, it was this, you know, in this one example of this presentation, I ended up talking to, I felt like I talked to, just like you and I are today, 400 people over the course of 3 months who sat there with me sitting here in my house, but nonetheless, they sat with me, we talked about the program, they asked questions, and that is a gift I'll never, you know, I'll never stop being grateful for, because that's 400 people who took the time to hear the story. And I don't expect I'll ever have an opportunity like that again. I mean, now that we know how to regroup, we're not, even though we're still back in our houses, we're all just continuing on. We don't have that sense stopped. But it was a wonderful thing. So I think that we have to be grateful for those things. I certainly am. Although I, you know, I'm hopeful that was unlike any other in that we don't
You're
have
ready
that.
To go. Well, one of the hardest things about that situation, I mean, except even the virus and people passing away, was the lack of socialization.
Mm-hmm.
Humans need socialization. I know, like, we talk about the track time, holiday time. We got to have that interaction. And that was probably one of the hardest things for me to do.
Sure.
And I think for a lot of people, being stuck in or being on their own property, not being able to do much, was really a very, very hard thing.
Yeah.
And, so I want to talk about the prison program.
Sure.
With the TRF and how they got started and what it's evolved to, and, you know.
Well, I think you and I always have to remember, Rick, that when we talk, we love to getting together, but sometimes you have, of course, new listeners every time that we get together. So I jumped right into that whole spiel without actually explaining who we are and what we do. So thank you for that opportunity. The TRF, which stands for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, as Rick so kindly said at the beginning, we are a national charity that is based right here in Saratoga. We've been around since 1983. We are what is proud to be a part of the oldest and the largest charity devoted to the thoroughbred racehorses. And our mission is to take care of thoroughbred racehorses after they're no longer able to compete on the racetrack, to protect them from possible neglect, abuse, and slaughter, which is a sobering and serious mission. And it's one we take very seriously. That's what our mission statement was when we were founded back in the 80s, and it has never changed. However, the interesting twist in our evolution started at the very same time that we were first created. The wonderful individuals involved in our founding were famous, famous racing folks. Many of your audience will know them. Here in Saratoga, it was the beloved Mary Lou Whitney was on our board. Nationally famous was, of course, Penny Chenery, the owner of Secretariat. Really, it was a who's who of the racing industry that founded us and said, these horses deserve to be cared for and we need to look after them. But the interesting twist was that while they had all the best intentions and they started raising money and telling everyone that this needed to happen, they didn't necessarily have like a farm to put them on. That they didn't come with a big chunk of land. They just came with their hearts and their energy and their passion. So it is truly a little bit of the magic of serendipity of you just never know who's listening. And that's why I love these opportunities with you, Rick, is that somewhere along the early days of Penny Chenery and Mary Lou Whitney, you know, hobnobbing, I like to think of them on a porch somewhere on Union Avenue during the Saratoga meet. Sure. They told somebody, we're going to do this. We're going to save the horses. We're going to give them all a home. And someone probably said, well, where are you going to put them? And I don't quite know what they would have said, because I think they would have glossed over it and said, oh, we're working on it. You know, we're going to figure it out. But sure enough, the connection was made with a really important person who was a New Yorker. We should all be proud of the New York heritage of this TRF. And his name was Senator Howard Nolan. So some of your listeners may remember Senator Nolan. State senator, represented the Albany region. And he was a racing guy, I mean, still is actually still an active owner. I'm sure he's a little bit up in years, but he is, he was not only a racing person and a state senator, but the key was that he was involved in the corrections committee for the state of New York. So he happened to know, and this is where you just never know who's listening and how these connections come together. He connected with our executive director, Monique Kohler was her name, and said, you know, the prison down in Wallkill, they're about to add some land. They're buying a farm because they need some buffer between their facility at Wallkill Correctional and a new maximum security that was being built at that time. This was all back in the 80s. He said, I don't know what they're going to do with that land, but maybe you should talk to them. Well, isn't it amazing what can happen when somebody makes a good introduction? So sure enough, you jump forward to our hit just 1 year later. In August of 1984, the very first horse that ever was taken into the herd of the TRF, he stepped off the van at the Wallkill Correctional Facility in Wallkill, New York, and thus began our prison program. We call it our TRF Second Chances Program. And it is now over 35 years old, started in New York. It's currently in 7 states across the United States, 7 different prisons, always state level prisons. And in those programs, the horses are, they're really the teachers. That's the role we put them in. You could consider it their next career after racing. They go into education, and that means they are teaching men and women who are incarcerated skills that they can take out into the world when they leave. And so the horse gets a second chance as a new career in as a teacher, and the men and women who work with them get a second chance when they return to society. So that's what that program is.
How many horses are at these facilities?
Well, it definitely depends. We use a little rule of thumb for our whole herd. We have a national herd manager. I actually have a colleague whose title is National Herd Manager, which just, I love that I have someone. I love that I have a colleague with that title. Her name is Sarah Davenport, and she has a really, really important job, because her number one job every day is the welfare of all of these horses. And we are fully accredited by an organization that's a national organization for thoroughbred aftercare, and she maintains all of the standards of care, veterinary fences, all that. But when we put horses in a particular facility, whether it be a prison or a sanctuary farm, we know that our experience tells us that 2 acres per horse is a really solid rule of thumb, because it prevents injuries. They have enough grass to eat. They don't sort of bother each other. They can definitely be in less space than that. It's not, that's just a TRF guideline. It's not a rule. But that comes to your question, Rick, of how many are in each prison then becomes a function of how many acres does the prison or the farm have. So
really the property decides the number of horses.
The number of horses. So our largest prison program is actually in Florida. It's in Ocala, Florida. That is a 100-acre farm that has almost 60 horses on it. It's a huge farm. Our farm in Lexington is similarly large. It's not quite 100 acres, but it's close to 50 horses. The one at Wallkill, which is our oldest farm, and we're still at Wallkill, where that horse Promised Road was his name. He got off that van in 84. And we've had horses there ever since. That's about 40 horses that live here in our New York prison.
What a program for prisoners to get in while they're incarcerated and then possibly have a career when they come out. They learn how to take care of animals, especially racehorses. I mean, they love humans. Yeah. And to have a thoroughbred, retired thoroughbred, who are feisty in themselves, to take care of and have pride in calming them down. And that's got to be a pretty a good program for the prisoners, too.
It really is amazing. It's one of these things where it's hard to convey just how much of an impact the horses have. And that's my challenge every day, is how do I capture that? And I will tell you that, coming back to your question about last year, thanks to that time and technology, we actually figured out a way to improve on how do we show people, how do we share this experience? It's pretty hard to get the average fan into a prison to see a horse teaching an inmate. I mean, this is not a thing where it's very accessible. I can talk about it. You're such a great believer and advocate for it. But we decided last year, with all this craziness that we were up against, we suddenly realized we had an opportunity to show, not just tell, but to show people what was happening in these prisons. And so one of the biggest things we did last year, which still ties to your question and your this focus on the program, is we decided to do a horse show virtual event, in that we did this focusing on our program in Lexington, Kentucky, and we called it the TRF Blackburn Horse Show Goes Global. That was our little tagline, because we realized that now everybody, if we do this on technology like we are today, it was live streamed on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. It all went live at the same time on October 20th, but it wasn't a ticketed event. It wasn't like your classic fundraiser where you had to sell a ticket and register and show up and we had to buy meals. We could just invite the world. We could say everyone can watch this from their own home, and we can show people and have them hear, in the very words of these inmates, what the horses were doing for them. So that was perhaps the greatest thing that happened to us in a year unlike any other. We had over 700 people watching that horse show on October 20th. And since then, we've had 2,800 views of the horse show, because it lives on YouTube. And the best part of all is exactly what you're asking, Rick, is how does it affect people? And we actually had the men looking in the camera with the horse, a real horse, not just this picture of one, and saying, this is my horse. Here's how many races he ran. I take care of him. And like you said, I'm proud of what I've learned how to do. It's perfect. If any of your audience want to watch the horse show, it is on our YouTube channel. And I can't say what a thrill it was to finally bring the world into the program.
Well, that also exposes it to people who care about the program like that, and possibly new donors. And always that's what you want.
Yeah.
Which segues me into the next subject. You weren't able to fundraise in the normal way. So what did you have to adapt to in that vein of TRF?
Yeah, that was true. That was the scariest part. I mean, for all of us in the nonprofit sector, and honestly, every business, you know, was, what are we going to do if with this world that we're in? And I have to say, above all, our reflection on 2020 was incredibly grateful to our existing, steadfast, loyal, devoted donor base, because they you know, there was nothing, they always say this about life, but like when the going gets tough, you find out who your teammates are, you find out who really believes in you. And that's what really last year was, because we couldn't do most of the things we would normally do. We certainly couldn't host any events that people could get together. We couldn't do silent auctions. We couldn't do our big barbecue at the barn in its normal way. So at the end of the day, the most important thing that happened is, as a charity, we just kept in touch. We communicated more than ever last year. Certainly I did in my major gifts role, with just sharing information and keeping in touch. And the donations came. I mean, we are just so grateful. So really, without doing the things that we normally did, sure, which we were still asking, we were still sharing our story, and our donors and our friends and our friends like you, Rick, who gave us chances to tell the story, that's what carried us through. So we did do one fundraiser. We did do our own version of a, we didn't call it, I wouldn't let the team call it virtual, because it was actually in person. We did our barbecue at the barn, but we did it as a drive-through. Okay. So that was, of course, that became a very popular model. I'm not saying we were first, but that was the model we did. And then we embraced it as we saw other people do it too. So sure, we did still have an event, but it wasn't virtual, because people literally came in their cars. They just weren't allowed out of their cars. we did that at the Saratoga Winery here in Saratoga. They were wonderful partners. And they let us bring horses, and we had folks like Maggie Wolfendale Morley and Ramon Dominguez and Tom Durkin and Steve Bick. We had the whole racing celebrity crowd, and people could just drive through. They pre-ordered their barbecue, and then they could wave and get pictures of the horses, including our horses that came up from Wallkill. And we made a really fun event of it. And at least folks got to have as much fun as you can have in your car. And it was successful as a fundraiser. So that was what we did fundraising wise.
Well, I think a lot of nonprofits this year were looking for things to do.
Yeah.
Because they lost their source of income, not being able to do the normal things.
Yeah.
A lot of them had drive-through barbecues, whether it be chicken and ribs or whatever, because they could still make money on it, because the people that would go to it every year,
yep,
would still support it,
and yep, make
even more people, because you were stuck in the house.
Yes.
You know, you could go to the grocery store, but you couldn't do any social events.
Yep.
So these things really fit into everyday life as far as taking the place of an actual fundraiser, or yeah, whatever they look for in doing it, and an excuse to get out and get some food. And yeah, it was a challenging year for fundraisers, but like you said, a different way of doing things that you can always use if,
yeah,
something happens in the future, right?
Oh, yeah.
Template for it.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, on two fronts. One, just the fact that the barbecue, in its crazy drive-through mechanism, it was so much fun. We had such positive feedback about families who, just like you said, they were just so happy to have something on the calendar, to load the kids in the car, to drive around. And to, of course, the horses are what make everybody smile. So that's the key for us, is if we do a drive-through, we're going to have horses there.
Right.
And then, so we had so much fun doing that we were then inspired to do a new event. That, which seems kind of crazy that we would try something new in the middle of the pandemic, but we did a second event in the fall that was probably the most fun thing we've ever done. And it was called Ponies, Pumpkins, and Pies. So,
nice.
You know, it was good, because those are good things. But that was really just taking the joy of the barbecue and going, let's do it again with our friends at another local charity. So this was a collaborative event with us and our friends at Pitney Meadows Community Farm.
Okay.
They have all that beautiful space, and they were game to do something together. So we did our own redux, or maybe an encore, you would call it, of the barbecue. Instead of bringing our horses, because they'd already gone home to Wallkill at that point, we partnered with another horse organization called North Country Riding, which has a lot of little kids and their ponies, and they do horse shows. the kids brought their ponies. They decked them out in their holiday Halloween finery. Like they were all dressed up as unicorns and dragons and Batmobiles. I mean, they just went for it. And we hosted it at the farm, which was so pretty. We had the most beautiful October day. We really couldn't have been luckier. And it just was fun. It was mostly just to have some fun. We did raise some money and we raised some awareness and we've certainly had a good time, but it was sort of, let's do what we can to give people something fun to do. And that was probably our favorite thing we did all year.
Now to get back to the TRF's mission and that, most people in the racing world, thoroughbreds are very hyped up horses. Mm-hmm. They're bred for racing. How fast can they race? They're well taken care of while they're racing. I mean, they eat every day. They get a bath every day. They get brushed every day. And they're very pampered.
Yes.
And it's great that and the people in racing want to take care of these horses after they stop racing. So it's great to have an organization like yours and others to be able to take care of these horses instead of an alternative, which, you know, may not be good. So it's amazing. Horse racing people love horses. They're not in it just for the money.
That's true. That's true. It is a hard life, taking care of horses. It's not glamorous, really, most of the time. It is hard work, and people do it because they love it, right? At every level of the horse industry, and that's racing and far beyond. People who work with horses do it because they love these animals, and there are many, many people who love them. And so I'm honored to be a part of not only the TRF, but we are part of a bigger industry that takes care of the horses when they're done. And we just want to make sure that they all have the happiest life they can possibly have when their career is done. Their careers are pretty short. You and I've talked about it before. The average horse sort of finishes at 6 years old and they live until they're 25 or 30. So they do have lots of years to give. And you put it perfectly. They just love people. They just want a job and they want to be engaged with humans. And much like humans are social creatures, horses are social creatures.
Horses are too, yes. Yeah. And they're beautiful animals too. They really are.
They are.
From the years of being well taken care of, they retire as beautiful animals, and they stay that way too. I don't know if you want to mention some of the sponsors of your organization.
Well, always. Thank you, Rick. You're so good. You know, when I think about our gratitude for last year, it's just it's almost overwhelming. But to keep it in a spirit of examples of folks who represent the many donors and sponsors, the barbecue was just a great example. We had tremendous community support for that event, even though we were going to keep our guests in their cars. It was folks that many of your audience here in Talk Saratoga will know. It's going to be Adirondack Trust. We love those guys. That bank does a lot to support the community. It was our friends who were very kind of the pride of Saratoga, especially this year, was Jack Knowlton and Saratoga Stables, who of course had beautiful Tis the Law this year. Jack and his wife came to the barbecue. They were sponsors of the barbecue and are just great people who give back. Another place that's local that folks may drive by all the time and not necessarily know them because it's a beautiful horse farm called Sugar Plum Farm, which is right as you head out towards Saratoga National. It's there on the left, and it's a beautiful breeding farm. War Dancer is their stallion there. They do racing partnerships. They breed horses, and they absolutely give back by sponsoring. They were great sponsors of the barbecue. And then one more I'd mention on the sort of families that really care was a wonderful local family. The Barisanok family have a family foundation, and they are loyal sponsors of that barbecue. The other piece of sponsorship, though, without trying to make you like the Academy Awards, I'm not trying to list everybody, is that we also really, because the year was so strange and so hard, is we wanted to try to use our events as much as we could to promote local businesses and just show that together we're stronger. That wonderful hashtag that the chamber has, stronger together. So we did a lot of sponsorship outreach, just at very, like, frankly, low dollar amounts, like $100 sponsorship, to get sponsors that were just your local pizza place, or like my friend Mara Pulver that has her new business, Simply Food by Mara. We just know they want to keep their name in front of people that, for carry out. They need the restaurants, still need people to come pick up. So we really, you know, we weren't trying to squeeze those businesses that are struggling for dollars, but we wanted to make sure we could use our platform to promote them. So we were incredibly grateful for folks like The Hideaway, Dandria's Pizza, amazing local sponsors that just showed their support. And I just can't say enough thanks to everyone who sponsored our events. So without boring your audience with my long list, we do have all that on our website. We keep all of our sponsors listed on our website. So feel free to visit that.
The website is?
Yes, the website is, it is www.trfinc.org. Okay. So trfinc.org. Okay. And love it when people visit there.
And the phone number?
Oh, yeah, the phone number. That's a great question when we're all not working from home as much, or we are working from home. So I will just, if you don't mind, I'm going to leave it with our website because we're not there very much to answer the phone right now. And that's, I wouldn't, fine, want someone, no, no, to feel, no,
I understand. I understand completely. And not only the $100 donors, horses always have to eat. And yes, there's always something that has to be taken care of. So if someone wants to donate $10 or $20, whatever they want to, I'm sure you will accept donors also.
Yeah, I know, it really is. What's one of the fun things about, I mean, what we do is that our focus is purely, our largest expense item is hay and then grain and then the farrier and the vet. So every dollar, and this sounds cliche, but it is so true. So thank you, Rick, for mentioning that, is that, you know, $5, that's a bale of hay. $10 is like a bag of grain. And so there really is no gift too small. And one of the things that we did with these events that I've mentioned is that we added those. Not only could you get your pumpkin or your pie, you could buy a bale of hay, you could buy a bag of grain. And people really got into that at both of the events. And those are like $10 and $25 donations, but they make a big difference. The average cost, this is one other number I'm often asked, and you mentioned sponsorship, just, we also use that term for sponsoring a horse. It's a very popular way to be involved with our organization and really feel like you have a horse in our herd. Sure. So we do horse sponsorship, and that's right there on our website too, right at the top. To sponsor a horse for a whole year and to know that you were covering his or her costs, it's a $2,500 donation. That's a lot of money, but we have some donors that do that. They just say, that's my horse. I'm going to cover all of his costs. And then you'll get pictures, you'll get updates, you get emails. And we just try to give you that sense of being connected. I was actually a horse sponsor for years before I moved to Saratoga. When I was not with the organization, I was just a horse sponsor. But you can do that at a lower level. You can do like $100. You can do $250. And really, to your point, we can do a lot with every dollar because their expenses are pretty straightforward.
Well, now, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Just like there's more and more ownership groups rather than individual owners in horses and owning a horse, could, let's say, 10 people chip in, divide that amount of money and have like a group ownership in a horse?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, I love the way you think, Rick. Yeah, that's an excellent idea. And it's absolutely possible. That would be super fun and not hard because
they could have, sure, they could have the name's syndicate.
Absolutely. And
you know, that would be a fun thing to do.
It would. I'd love it. I love it.
A lot of horse racing today, there are syndicate owners. And I know 'Tis the Law had a group of, I think it was 20-some owners that had a share in that. And it would be good to have a horse. And, I own a piece of that horse, you know.
Yeah. You know, that's a brilliant idea. I mean, that's a brilliant idea. There's no doubt about it because We talk about racing partnerships all the time, and we also talk about horse sponsorships all the time. But I have a colleague who's, she is the manager of our horse sponsorship program. And I'm going to tell her that today on this podcast, we got a new marketing package for how we can get more folks involved in horse sponsorship. And it'll be forever known as the Rick Thompson idea. So thank you.
Yeah, right. Okay. You can name a syndicate after me. But yeah, that's great. So is there any more developments of going into 2021? I mean, are we just hoping that we get back to somewhat normal? I think it's going to be a little bit before we get back to normal, but I think we'll be going, as we go along, we'll get back to somewhat normal.
Yeah, I think I was talking with a friend yesterday. I think we just have to look forward to the new world that will be not quite like the old world, but it'll be better than where we are now. We're kind of like at a way station between one life and another. Not to get too sort of esoteric, but like, we can't wait to start this new world. We all know we're going to do some things differently. We've actually learned a lot of things. We'll probably all be much better about washing our hands and wearing masks and staying home when we're sick, but we also just want to get on with it, right? So that's, I would say for us as an organization, we are off to the races already with 2021. And a lot of it is because we're not going to let ourselves be waylaid by all these challenges. We're just going to plan for the world that we're in today. Okay. So two examples without, and I'll only leave you two because I always want to leave enough for you to invite me back in the future.
Anytime, Kim, anytime.
Well, you are very kind. But February, here we are. We're already in February, Super Bowl tomorrow. One thing that we started off right away with this new year is we sort of said, listen, everybody's doing takeout. This sounds very small, but like everyone's doing takeout dinners. Let's kick off our impact nights. So that's a very simple idea that can be done anywhere around the country. It starts here in Saratoga because we're here. And an impact night is just when one of these restaurants that's doing carryout says, hey, how about if we make this night, whichever, like a Tuesday night, let's make this one a little benefit for charity X. In this case, right. I love it.
Right.
And so we did our first one of those this Tuesday with our friends at Simply Food by Mara, who's a good friend of mine, and she's got her new business. She does Tuesday night takeout dinners. She calls them the Take Five dinners. So she called it her Take Five and Give Back. And for every dinner that was ordered, she gave a dollar to the horses. Good. We had a great time promoting her. We put her on our Facebook page and our Instagram feed, and we gave her a lot of love, and she gave out a koozie from the TRF to everybody who bought a meal, and they got a little information about us. And it was fun. You know, it wasn't necessarily trying to, you know, sponsor a whole horse, but it was, let's just get the word. Let's just support each other. And I do like to talk about those impact nights because we welcome everybody to think about how they can not just do them in Saratoga. They can do them in Lexington. They can do them in Ocala. They can do them in San Diego. It's just a fun way because we can support that with social media anywhere. So that's one thing that we did. We are looking forward to our second one this month with our friends at the Walton Whitman Brewery. So check our website for details. We haven't quite figured out which day, but it'll be probably the third week of February. And then the one other thing I'd mention for this month, which is my big project of the year so far, is that in the very same field where these three horses, those of you who are looking at this video and others are just listening, there are horses behind me. They live in Ocala, Florida, and we will be launching. This is so very unusual for me to say this sentence. We are launching a brand new TRF Second Chances program in Ocala, Florida this month in just a couple weeks. And it's not just so amazing to add a program. And part of this is because we work with state level organizations like the corrections organizations. They are great partners, but they don't move quickly. And I don't think any of us would want them to. In this case, we are working with the Florida Department of Juvenile Justice. So this is a groundbreaking program for us, for the Department of Juvenile Justice, and for the country. It'll be the first of its kind where our retired resources are teaching young men ages 12 to 18 who are in this residential facility and really possibly changing lives, not just giving a second chance like the horses do in prisons, but actually changing the direction of these young men. It's very exciting. So that event is going to be online, streaming live, watchable from any computer device or phone. And it'll be all over our website when we launch the date. I think it will be February 23rd, but it'll be a half hour and you can meet our horses, see the program, meet our farm manager, and feel like you're a part of history. So that's my offer for February.
What a life-changing path that could be. There are so many different careers in horse racing, taking care of horses, active or retired, that a young person, it could be a good career for a young person.
Yes.
Because especially depending on the involvement they want to give in. We have some friends that are in, that got involved at a young age so much that they enter a program through Gandolphin Stables where they Australia, Ireland, England, and there's a program for that. So they get to know different horse racing. I don't know what do you want. It's not techniques, but it's how they race differently around the world. So there's different career paths that you can take. And what a perfect thing for even a younger person to, you know, take part in that program.
Yeah, we've been working on this one because these things do take so much time. So I'll tell you behind the scenes, this program, the MOU was signed, which was, of course, not the first step. We all know if you do partnerships, it takes forever to get to the document being signed. It was signed in December 2018. So it just takes a while. These things aren't easy. And we had to build a barn and put up fences and funding and all kinds of things. So I just so much gratitude for the people that got us here. But on February 23rd, we will actually get to start something new. And really, we are beyond excited about sharing this. And it's just the beginning. So stay tuned. And you know I'll be talking about this every time I come back now, Rick.
Yeah. And I want you to come back with Maureen.
Great.
And I want to do a show on her, not a career change, but she was in business in a certain place for so long, ended up moving to another place, but the food is still fantastic. And I want to talk to her about how that changed her life during the pandemic also.
Yes, I'm so proud of her. I think these stories of how people took a tough year and made the best of it. I will never tire of these stories. And if you and I can find different ones to tell, I'm always here and ready to do it.
And you know, the reason, and it's just like your program, the reason I love talking to people about that is because one of the sad parts, other than the effect of the virus health-wise on people, was the fact that so many businesses had to go under, mostly small businesses. Yeah. So I like to hear about the ones that adapted, and they may have been struggling, but they adapted. And as we bring our economy back, they're ready to engage again in full steam. One of the things that, my heart goes out to these people because some of them have had family businesses for two or three generations. Yeah. And, we'd like to highlight them. And one of the things that one of the businesses that I like to highlight, it's sad to say I've never been in there, but the Saratoga, sandwich shop on Broadway.
Saratoga Deli. Yeah, Broadway Deli.
Saratoga Deli.
Yeah.
Came out in October and said that he did so well during the pandemic. And he was giving free cooked chickens to any family that wanted it.
Yeah.
No questions asked. And he would be doing this through Christmas. So what a way to give back. And, we should have people to tell their stories about they did what good or they didn't do so well, but the community supported them. Like you said, is takeout and drive through. So there's a lot to talk about. And we live in a great area as, horses are number one in Saratoga.
Well, they bring us all together. They brought us together, Rick, and I'm forever grateful for the friends I've met thanks to horses, and you are one of those, and then together we can go tell some more good stories.
I'm fantastic. All right. Well, Kim, thanks for being with us today. And we will be together again shortly. So you take care. Have a great weekend.
You do the same, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.